Welcome and thank you for joining us today. My dad, Pastor Salem, believed in the life-changing power of God's Word. Through the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour, his messages continue to remind us of God's faithfulness and the strength we find in his Word. It's always encouraging to hear how God is working in your lives. Let me share a couple of notes we've received. From Nebraska, we heard, "Thank you for your prayers and continuing to air CWH. I look forward to your programs and the monthly newsletter called A New Song. I need to be reminded I am not alone. Thank you for your friendship. I am comforted knowing people pray with me and for me." And from Michigan, "Since I am homebound now, I have come to love your programs and the sermons of Pastor Salem. I am thankful that I can help support your ministry." Today, this timeless broadcast is a special one, where Dad was about to turn 98, so he wanted to share a message from Psalm 98. May this service encourage your heart. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is going to be a special service because, listen to this, next Tuesday, I'm going to be 98 years old. So I'm going to preach a sermon to just celebrate 98. Who would ever think I'd make that? But the Lord knows, and so I'm not complaining, just happy that I can carry the gospel a little farther. We're looking at Psalm 89 in our invocation, where the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn is exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." And so, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you that we have such a wonderful King, and that you're the King of all of creation, and that we can just put all of our weight upon you, and we can know that you'll lead and guide, and that you'll bring us safely home. So in this service today, Lord, we want to give thanks and praise and keep our eyes on Jesus. For we pray it in his name, amen. And Jan's going to start us out today with singing, "He Keeps Me Singing." And God bless you, Jan.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. I will sing of my
Well, thank you, Jan. And that's just a perfect song because here I am. Next Tuesday, I'm going to celebrate my 98th birthday. And I'm singing as I go. I'm happy in the Lord. I've never been happier. Maybe when the Buell and the children were home, a little happier. But just happy in the Lord, singing as I go. And so I'm going to have a sermon on that. So hang on and see what we come up with. But first, I want you to read some of the letters. And the first one comes from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they write, wanted to say hi and let everybody know that we are on in my thoughts and prayers daily. Thank you for all the work you continue to do in spreading the love and word of God and of his Son, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless all of you with love from your Christian sister. And so it's always encouraging to hear that people are praying for us. And now for over 40 years, the Christian Worship Hour has been going, and it's because people prayed and people stood by and supported us and helped us. And I just rejoice when I have a nice letter like this. We get so many nice letters. Here's one from Syracuse, New York. I would like free literature about what are the steps to heaven and anything about becoming a Christian. I'm trying to become saved and accept Jesus Christ in my heart. And isn't that a beautiful letter? Because God, if you ask the Lord into your heart, he'll come into your heart. And so we sent this lady, Syracuse, New York. We sent literature already, and it just tells us, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you just pray to Jesus and just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, take them away. And thank you, Lord, and I'll turn from my sins. Yeah, Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means turning. Returning from the old way. Return away from the old way. Walk with the Lord. Here's London, England, and we got an order for the heart of a shepherd. And I just so happy that you can get full information anywhere in the world if you go to our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can get sermons, and you can get materials, and you can see what our history is and the whole thing. Get acquainted with us. Here's Evansville, Wyoming. I get free TV with an antenna. When the flocks of birds fly into my tree, I get a glitch in my TV. The only Christian training at home was from my dad. The books of the gospel are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's it. But it meant enough to me for me to be curious to learn more about it. Love to you all. And so, okay, here's a dad and a mom. They didn't teach about the Bible, but they did teach that there is the Gospels. And so this person thinks, oh, I want to know more about it. I want to read about it. And so they come to know Christ. And I get a little tired of these people who say, well, I never was taught anything when I was a child. When you're an adult, you can make your own decisions. So don't blame the fact if you don't accept Jesus, don't blame it on your parents. You are old enough to make a decision, and maybe your parents fell down on the job. I don't know about that. That's for the Lord to decide. But you can say, I'm old enough to make a decision, and I decide for Jesus. I want Jesus. Here's Valparaiso, Nebraska. Here's a different one. We never got one like this before. My wife gets headaches all the time, and it's 24 miles to the nearest church. Recently, on Easter Sunday, I got to enjoy your program while holding ice on her head. It was comforting to me to hear the gospel and yet being able to help my wife. So here's some folks, and they're not going to give up. And if they got a headache, and I don't know, maybe I gave her the headache. Who knows? And I do that to some people. And then some of them, people get mad because you got the gospel and it says you're a sinner, and if you die in your sins, you're going to hell. Oh, they don't like that. But, Jesus taught that and preached it, so we do too. So, but here's a good husband. He stands with his wife, helps her, and they're together. They worship the Lord together. Here's De Quincy, Iowa. I'm 81 years old, not too many family or friends left. I lost my husband some time ago, and listen to this, and lost three of my precious sons due to illness, cancer, MSA, and a drunk driver killed one head-on collision in 1976. I miss them all so very much, but I'm at peace knowing that they're with Jesus, safe in his loving arms. I know we'll all be together again soon. I will see the face of Jesus and my precious ones. Thanks be to God, praying for you, your sister in Christ. I think this is just a beautiful letter because here's this lady. Some people, when they have things like this, they get mad at God. They get mad. And there's no future for that, I'm going to tell you. But she's heartbroken. But what does she say? I miss them. I miss them all very much. But I'm at peace knowing they're with Jesus. And that's the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we just thank God and we just praise God that you're going to see each other again. If you accept Jesus, if you're born again, and you're born again when you ask Jesus into your heart, you're going to see your loved ones again. And we're going to get to see her, and we're going to see those, all her family too. And won't that be something wonderful? Now here, listen to this. I'm going to have my 98th birthday in a couple of days. So I got a letter from a lady in Spearfish, South Dakota. Her name is Muriel Jeffrey. And this is what she writes. Been thinking about you. Got the film. Thanks a lot. Brings back lots of good memories. You married Jim and me 74 years ago. You did a good job. Love to you on TV. Keep up the good work and God bless you. Well, I called Muriel and we had a good visit. And yes, I remember your wedding, Muriel. First Baptist Church, Belfour, South Dakota, January 14, 1945. My first wedding. The first wedding I performed. And brother, I'm telling you, I was nervous as I could be. And I asked Muriel, do you remember how nervous I was? Yes, you were nervous, she says. You and my husband and the best man, you're in a side room. And when they played the piano, you're supposed to come out. And they played the piano and you didn't come out. And she played and played, and I finally nodded, go ahead. And she played the bridal march, and I came down one aisle and you came down the other aisle, almost beat you there at the altar. So I was nervous. I'm going to tell you, and I always get nervous at weddings anyway, but this one took the cake. And she remembered, she says, yes, you're fit, you're nervous beyond words, fit to be tied. And another thing she said, and you wore a blue tie. So I said, Muriel, you watch, and I'll wear a blue tie for you, and I got a blue tie on. So 74 years, she's 92, going to be 92 this fall. And here she is, my first wedding. Jim's with the Lord. We'll all be with the Lord someday. So that's just, boy, that's great. And that Muriel, she always was just a good one, I'm going to tell you. And she settled us all down. We got through that first wedding. Here's Mountain Home, Arizona. Now listen to this. I never got a letter like this in my life either. So I've gotten a lot of new things. This man says, I am a retired farmer. I have a bale counter from a hay baler from days gone by that I used to count how many times Pastor Salem uses the name of Jesus. Wow. I don't know of another minister or ministry where we hear Jesus' name mentioned so many times. We can't use his name, though. We can't use enough of his name, though. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto myself, John 12:32. Just to let you know how you're doing, on one Sunday you mentioned Jesus' name 94 times, and another Sunday 104 times. Good job. We plan to have some friends over for a movie tonight and watch Heart of a Shepherd. Well, I tell you, I'm going to tell you something. I never get tired of talking about Jesus. I never, ever get too much about Jesus. And Leah Long has written a song about Jesus' name, his wonderful name. And she writes these words. There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. There is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give such honor and such love as the blessed name, let us all proclaim the wondrous, glorious name of Jesus. And someday I shall see him face to face and thank and praise him for his wondrous grace, which he gave to me when he made me free, the blessed Son of God called Jesus. And then the chorus goes like this. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and is just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I never get tired talking about Jesus. And he grows sweeter as the years go by, that Jesus. He'll save you from hell. He'll make life worth living. I don't say he's going to make you rich and all that, but you'll have peace and you'll have joy. 98 years old, and I'm as happy as I can be. And it's all because of Jesus. And that's why we got the Christian Worship Hour now for over 40 years. We're telling you, come to Jesus, because Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus told us in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, that he's telling about, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And John is saying, and Thomas is saying, oh, I want to be there too. If you're going to be there and you're preparing a special place, can you imagine what it's like when you see God's creation, the mountains and the trees and the flowers? What will it be like, this mansion he prepared for me? And Thomas says, yes, I want to be to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I don't have a road map. I don't know how to get there. And Jesus says, I'll tell you how to get there. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man gets to heaven but by me. You got to come by Jesus. You said, how do I come by Jesus? You just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from them my evil ways the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And you've gone through the gate and you're on your way to heaven. Oh, I tell you, I never get tired of talking about Jesus after 98 years. I never get tired of that. So now if you want to help us tell others about Jesus, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to, you can send us a gift on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Because we got to pay our way just like anybody else. And we wouldn't have it any other way. God isn't a beggar. We'll pay our way and we'll pay on time. And so how do we get our gifts? Well, we're not carried by any denomination or corporation or anything like that. It's just God's people. So we tell people our only source of income is God's people. And then you do as God lays on your heart. And I know what you say. You say, oh, I don't know. How will you spend all that money wisely? Will you use it for the Lord? And I'm going to tell you something. We are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year. Every penny is accounted for, receipted, and spent, and audited by this organization. So when you give a gift, large or small, it'll be all clear and all on the above board, all going for the gospel. And then two things we have. We have, first of all, the new song. It's a little Bible study. And the little Bible study, every month, it's something different. This month, it is the Good Shepherd. And we have a little Bible study on the Good Shepherd. And so you can have that if you just write, and it's free and postpaid. And you say, well, how can you do that? Don't you charge subscription? Nope, we're just such nice people. We just pay it. And when we don't get any more gifts, we won't pay it anymore. And the other thing is we have a movie, and it's called The Heart of a Shepherd. Heart of a Shepherd. And it talks about how to come to Jesus. And you can give this. We had one man took it home and took it to himself. And he listened to that and he prayed for himself. Prayed together. Prayed alone for Jesus to come into his heart. So you write to us. We'd love to hear from you. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give us the Lord leads, and we'll have enough to carry on. So thank you, dear Jesus, for all of your people and all of these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. That's just beautiful. If I could play the piano like that, I'd give up preaching and get to playing, I'll tell you that. Well, it's a talent. It's a gift. And God, she's using it for God's glory. We're reading from Psalm 98. It's our 98th birthday. We're going to Psalm 98. And then we'll have a prayer. And in our prayer, we'll pray for the persecuted church in Bahrain. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands and the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, and the righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. So, Lord, thank you for this beautiful psalm. And here, this is a time of rejoicing and happiness, because we have such a great King, such a great Savior, and we can serve him and follow him and magnify his name. And for that, we give you thanks and praise. We're just praying today for the persecuted church in Bahrain. And we pray for them every month. We pray for some place in the world. And some of them, oh God, they're having terrible times. So all of us everywhere in the world, let's put that spotlight on Bahrain and pray for those dear people. And someday, and you know, our shortwave radio reaches the persecuted church. And we're in North Korea. And we know that some of them are worshiping with us, and we want them to know that we're proud of them, and we worship and we praise them and pray for them. And they help us. They challenge us to make a stand for the Lord and don't back down for anything. So, Lord, the church in Bahrain, bless and watch over them. Now use this service, Lord, to honor your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And Hank is going to sing now, Jesus is the light that's guiding me. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. Since the day I made Jesus my Savior and my Lord, I can see my mistakes that I'm not happy for. But in my heart I truly believe Jesus means everything to me. Even though I'm not what I should be, Jesus is the light that's guiding me. Jesus sees the future, and he knows the roads we will choose. Because of his grace, we still can be someone he can use. He doesn't throw the clay away, no matter what the people say. Even through the bad, I believe Jesus is the light that's guiding me. Well, it's not for me to judge or to criticize anyone. Jesus came not to condemn, but to save everyone. Until my life on earth is gone, I'll keep pressing on to win. His face I shall see. Jesus is the light that's guiding me. To win, his face I shall see. Jesus is the light that's guiding me.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you, brother. And that's the thing. Jesus will be our good shepherd. He'll be our guide. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a world with a Satan as a god of this world. And he's the prince of the power of the air. And boy, he's got a lot of wrong paths. And he's got a lot of pitfalls. But when Jesus is there, just stay close to Jesus. He'll guide and he'll help us. Well, we're looking at the 98th Psalm today. And we always been doing this. Now, on my birthday, we use one of the Psalms. We started with Psalm 90. And, of course, as you know, there's 150 Psalms. And so people say, you going to preach on all of them? Yep, I'm going to preach on all of them. Most of them's going to be done in heaven. But I'm going to preach on those Psalms until, if the Lord lets me, I have to get some permission. The way I preach, they'll probably say, just maybe you could just read it and not preach it. But anyway, we're going to preach as long as the Lord lets us go. And just as long as he holds us up, we're going to go. And so when you look at this psalm, we think it's probably written by David. And they think that he's celebrating some victories that he's had, his armies have had over the enemy. And he's rejoicing. And so he says they ought to be praising God. And it ought to be done with trumpets and clapping hands and dancing and praising God and fanfare. And that whole Psalm 98 is just praising God and pointing the way to walk. And so I take three things out of this psalm. First of all, I want you to see the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God. Verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. He hath done marvelous things." God had done some marvelous things in David's life, and he's giving praise. David was great at remembering the faithfulness of God, and when God did something and helped him in a special way, he never forgot it. For instance, when only a lad, he was caring for his father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. And David says God helped him barehanded, helped David to go and to single-handed, kills both the lion and the bear, and frees the little lamb. David never forgot that. And later on, David is still only a lad, and he is going to face Goliath, a hopeless mismatch. And David remembers how God helped him when he faced the lion and the bear. So listen to him as he tries to persuade King Saul to let him go and fight this giant that's over 9 feet tall. He says, David says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And King Saul gives permission, and you know the rest of the story. So David kills the giant, and then we read in 1 Samuel 17:54, "And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent." He took Goliath's armor, over 9 feet tall, and they put it in his tent. And why would David do that? You say, well, he probably did that because he wants to brag. and he wants people to see how great he is and how mighty he is. That wasn't the reason at all. God never would approve that. But he did it because remind the people of God's faithfulness, of how that the odds were just looked impossible, because here is a strapping young boy, and all he has a sling and five small stones, and he goes to Goliath. And sometimes people say, well, if he's had such a good shot, and he was so true to God, and he believed God would take care of him, how come he took five stones? Why didn't he just take one, show how good he was? Well, if you read the scripture, you find that Goliath had some brothers, and he might have to deal with the whole family. He didn't know, so he would be ready for whatever might be called to do. And so he tells you, he talks about how this, he puts this in this tent, and David had a lot of battles and struggles in life, but he was victorious in so many of them, and he always had that armor there. God is faithful. Look what he did with the lion and the bear. Look what he did to that giant Goliath. That's my God, and I've got that just to prove it and to make me strong. Every one of us, if we just look back and see where there's been times that God has helped us, when we might have been lost our life and we're in an awful predicament, or maybe you're on a deathbed and God restored your heart or your life and you lived, you can all look back and look at some things. I got one that I go back over and over the years. And it happened when I was a teenager. And I left my backwoods farm home in western South Dakota, and I went to Minneapolis, Minnesota to go to Bible school. That's 500 miles away. I'd never been out of the county. And I'm going 500 miles to a Bible school. And my wonderful experience of the faithfulness of God took place in that Bible school on Armistice Day, November 11th, 1940. And this is the way it happened. It was in the morning. It was unseasonably high. Temperatures were in the mid-60s. Then quickly, without any warning, the temperature plummeted from the 60s to single degrees. And then there was rain, and then there was sleet, and then there was heavy snow. There was 16.7 inches of snow in Minneapolis alone. And then fierce winds picked up 50 miles an hour. 154 people died in that blizzard alone. It's called the Armistice Day Blizzard of 1940. It is ranked number 2 by the Minnesota Climatology top 5 weather events of the 20th century. And I remember as plain as day sitting in that class that morning. I saw those snow flakes come by that window as big as a saucer. And I thought, I am in big trouble. And I was in big trouble because we had school in the morning and we worked in the afternoon. And we graduated from Bible school without a debt. And so all I had to wear was a flimsy little sweater. No cap, no jacket, no shawl, no boots, no coat, no nothing. I hadn't thought about winter coming on. And I guess if I would have, it wouldn't have mattered. I didn't have any money anyway. I got $5 a week working, and it all went to my tithe, as Mother taught me, 10% first. And then you pay your tuition, and you pay for some of the items in school. And so it's impossible for me to build it if I would have thought about it, get it if I'd have thought about it. So, and it's impossible for me now to walk 6 blocks to work. What am I going to do? Now, let me tell you what happened. After class, I went to my dormitory next door. There was a package for me from my dear old pastor, Paul Boomer, away back in Belle Fouche. It was a winter coat. It came the same day as the blizzard. And I told God, I said, Jesus, if I live to be 100 years old, I'm never going to forget how you can work a miracle. Well, I'm 98 and I haven't forgotten it yet. And I never will. That's like David. He had that armor to remind him. He's got the Philistines coming, and he's got other people coming to do battle, and he looks at that armor, and that was a 9-foot giant, taller than 9 feet, over 9 feet. And he could say, yes, that's what God can do. And he walked out, and he smacked them all and beat them all. Look back in your life, and you'll see a time when God cared for you in some special way. And always remember that incident, because it speaks of the faithfulness and the love of God, that faithfulness of God. Jeremiah, in his Lamentations, declares, great is thy faithfulness. The Apostle Paul puts it in another way. He declares in Colossians 3, verse 11, Christ is all in all, and that's where that is. All we really need is found in Jesus Christ alone. Outside of Christ is all periphery stuff. You don't need it. All we need is Jesus Christ. And if we have Jesus Christ, we have everything. Someone has put it this way. In the heart of London City, mid the dwellings of the poor, these bright golden words were uttered. I have Christ. What want I more? Spoken by a lonely woman dying on a garret floor, had not one earthly comfort. I have Christ, what want I more? He who heard them ran to fetch her something from the world's great store. It was needless. Died she saying, I have Christ, what want I more? But her words will live forever. I repeat them o'er and o'er. God delights to hear me saying, I have Christ. What want I more? I see the faithfulness of God in this psalm. And then in this psalm, I see the love of God. Verse 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation. When David made this statement, he was thanking God for saving Israel from their enemy. God saved Israel because he loved Israel. And so today we can say, God loves the sinner. And he made it possible for us to say, be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's because God loves the sinner. And the verse means that God loves you. And I've heard it 100 times, I suppose. The proper people will tell me, oh, I've wicked, God will never forgive me. I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. And I've done some awful things, and I've hurt a lot of people. I know he doesn't love me. Well, if you're saying that, friend, you're mistaken, because the Bible tells us in Romans 5, verses 8 to 10, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He's telling us, I love the poor lost sinner, but if you accept me as your son, I love you even more. That's what he's saying. He says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus said, just come to me. Him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. And you can read that New Testament all you want, and you'll never find a place where Jesus cast anybody away or wouldn't help somebody. We've seen people come to him and go away. And the rich young ruler went away. And it says he was sorrowful. And when you go away from Jesus, you'll be sorrowful. And that's so good. The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, indeed, God loves you. God loves you so much. The hymn writer puts it so well. We sing it over and over. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. It reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair down, bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? Every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain could the scroll contain the whole, they'll stretch from sky to sky, that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. You believe it or not, God loves you. And I can tell you this, God tells you, if you just come to him and you confess your sins to him, he knows what they are, and he knows all about them, but he wants you to admit it. Admit you're a sinner. There's some who don't think they're a sinner. They've got good works. They're going to get in by good works. They've got more good works than bad works, see? So they're going into heaven. And maybe it's just by a hair, but it just balances out. And God says, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He says that all of your righteousness is like filthy rags. They don't mean a thing. After we accept Jesus, then we work for him. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. And so this dear Jesus loves us. And that's why I like to preach, because I don't care who you are. God loves you and he wants you to come. But you can only do it in this world. After death, the judgment. After death comes, it'll never be changed. Nothing will be changed. So you need to come now. Come because he loves you. And then thirdly, I see in this psalm the judgment of God. It says in verse 9, he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world. Friend of mine, in the same breath that I tell you of the love of God, I have to warn you of the wrath of God. The same breath. That's what Jesus did in the same breath in John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on him. You're warned, you're told, turn to Jesus, come to Jesus, and find a wonderful Savior who will forgive you. Dear friend, you must have Jesus in your heart, or you have to face the wrath of God. That's all there is to it. In John 1:12, we're told, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I received Jesus into my heart 88 years ago. For 88 years he's been in my heart. And let me tell you something beautiful about this Jesus. I personally know him. He is my friend. He is beautiful beyond description. I cannot put it in words. He is beautiful because he loves me. He died on a cross for my sins. He paid for the death, saved me from death by his death on the cross. I was at enmity with God, and he loved me even while I was his enemy, and he gave his blood to pay for my sins. And he is so beautiful, this Jesus. He's so faithful to me. You know what? In every 98 years, 88 years of walking, having Jesus in my life, he's never deserted me a single time. I can always count on him. He is always there, and he never gets tired of me, and he never once turned his back on me. Oh, there's been times I've forgotten him, but he's never forgotten me. Phil Johnson puts it in a chorus like this. The eyes of the Lord is upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of the Lord is around me. He keeps me safe and secure. And although there are times I've stepped out of his will, I've never been out of his care. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. How beautiful in his dealing with me. If I step on out of line, he corrects me. And sometimes I try to get around it and I try to explain it away, but Jesus won't give an inch. If I'm off base, I know I'm off base, and I won't get right until I get back right with the Lord. Jesus always tells me when I'm wrong. And you know, he deals even with my thinking. My thinking. When my thinking is wrong, he'll start dealing with me, and he'll rebuke me, and sometimes it's severe, and sometimes it's sore and hard. Oh, you say, you must be mistaken. Who will? Well, if you say that, just listen to what happened to Peter. Peter was thinking wrong. Peter was acting wrong. Peter's thinking is going to lead to sin and to sorrow. And Jesus looks him in the eye and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. That's tough and that's rough. But that's Jesus. It's sharp and it's cutting. But he is right. It's the kindest thing he could possibly do is to warn Peter and to warn me. Oh, in Hebrews we're told, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son that he receiveth. This wonderful Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus, it's because you just don't know him. The Crusaders used to sing a song, and especially the children would sing it. Fairest Lord Jesus. It says, fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. And then the chorus, beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God, Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forever be evermore be thine. Oh, Jesus. You know, there's a story of a man, one of the ancient fathers of the church, named Jerome. He was a great theologian and he was a scholar. For one thing, he translated the Bible from Greek into Latin, and he died in 420 AD. Near the end of his life, he was living in Bethlehem. He was translating the Bible, and when he had a dream. And in this dream, the Christ child appeared to him. And Jerome was overwhelmed by seeing the Christ child, and he felt he had to give him something. And so he got some money and offered it to him and said, here, this is yours. And the Christ child said, I don't want it. And Jerome brought out some precious possessions and a ring that his mother had had. And the Christ child said, I don't want them either. And then Jerome said, is there anything in the world that I can give you? Tell me what it is. Tell me, what do you want? What do you want me to give you? And Jerome dreamed that the Christ child looked to him and said, give me your sin. That's what I came for. And you know, that's what the angel said. He shall save his people from their sins. And do you know what else? He is saying to you right now, give me your sins. That's what I'm asking you. I'm asking for you to give me your sins. And you say, oh, yes, 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 I want to give my sins to Jesus. Sins that I've carried all these years, sins that are heavy on my heart, sins that haunt me day and night, sins that are going to put me into hell. Yes, I want to give Jesus my sins, but I don't know how. And let me tell you how, because I expected Jesus. I did it when I was 10 years old, and he took all of my sins away. I haven't seen them since, and they're gone forever. And he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Again, God tells us in Hebrews chapter 8, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. And he tells us he wants to come into your heart and take away your sins. Give him your sins. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come into your heart and take away your sins. And you'll never see them again. Because my grace is sufficient. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And this wonderful Savior is right there now. So if you want Jesus to come into your heart and your life, you just say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, please come into my heart and take them away. And I'll turn from my sins the best way I can. I'll follow you. And if you pray that prayer, I can assure you on the authority of the Bible, God's holy word, I can assure you this very moment, your sins are washed away. You're a child of God. You're clothed in God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I'll see you in heaven. Yes, my 98th birthday, and here I am preaching for 75 years, and it has always been the same old story, the story of Jesus and his love. And I love to preach about Jesus. I never tire of preaching about Jesus. So you come to him. Come to him. What more can I say? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, multitudes will come to you right now. Call in the name of Jesus. You're waiting. You want them to come. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that prayer and you want some literature, you want something to read, you just write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I want to remind you, we need to have your help to carry on this work. And so you can get that address or you can go send it to us, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And whatever you send is carefully used. And because we're audited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, the same organization that audits Billy Graham, and they check our books and that we count for every penny. And you send this if you want the gospel to go on, you think it was a message that people need to hear, you need to write to us. Now, if you'd like to have a little paper that we call the New Song, and every month we have a little Bible study. And this month it's about the Good Shepherd and Jesus, what a wonderful shepherd he is, and some verses on why he's a shepherd and how he's a shepherd. And if you'd like to have that film and to give it to people or show it to people, you can write to us at the Heart of a Shepherd, Heart of a Shepherd. And we send it on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, we'll just send it free anyway. And if you're in prison, we hear from a lot of prisoners. From one federal prison, we hear from 14 different people. Now, we can't send you films. What we have to do there is you get your chaplain to write to us, and we can send it to the chaplain, and he can show it to you, men or women, as the case might be. And we're doing it free and postpaid. We're doing that also for retirement homes. We're doing that for churches. If your church wants to show it, no charge, we'll send it to you. And get to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And it's in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then I'd like to say this too, that if you have a question you'd like to, if it's a scriptural question and it's something that's bothering you, you write to us and we try to answer every letter we get. And you can, and also remember this, pray for our people in the persecuted church. We pray for them every month. We pray every week. We pray for another one every week. And so we're just counting on you, and we're counting on you to do that. And you can know that what God is using this to reach people, and you can be a part of bringing in the harvest, bringing in the people. And then you can pray, and you can tell others. We have a person in Florida, and he has six names on his list. And he calls everyone just the time the Christian Worship Hour is coming on. He calls on them to be sure to check and listen to the Christian Worship Hour. And if you do that, if you tell others about it, and if you pray, just think of this. If every one of you got one person to listen in, we would double our attendance. And there would be people who would hear about the gospel that maybe never, ever heard before. So the story goes out, and it goes out now for over 40 years, preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that wonderful Savior, he loves you. And that's what we always preach and always teach. We do the Christian Worship Hour, that's our theme, is that God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. God loves you. And we have a team of workers that help us with this work. We have a prayer team that works. And all of them have no pay at all. They're doing just as volunteers. And they do it because they love you and they want you to come to Jesus. And so they carry on over and over praying and standing at their post. And I want to tell you, friends, I'm going to tell you, I love you and I want you to come to Jesus. And there's nothing that thrills us more than when you write in and say, I ask Jesus to come into my heart. And then we send you some literature to help you get started in the Christian life. And you do that all over the world. Doesn't matter where you're at. We'll send you, and free and postpaid, we'll send you our literature and we'll help you get started in the Christian way. So that's what God does. It all starts with God because God is love. He loved me in my sin. He loves you in your sin. He'll accept you no matter who you are. St. Paul said he was a chief of sinners. God saved the chief. And then God is telling us, if I can save the chief, I can save any of you. But you have to come. Nobody can do it for you. Come to Jesus. And then next week, we'll be back, and we're going to be preaching the glorious gospel of Christ again. Get your friends to tune us in. Get your friends to listen. And by the glory and grace of God, we'll honor His word and we'll honor His name, and people will add it to the kingdom, and they'll be rejoicing in heaven in the presence of God. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.